Hey, it's Malls. Thanks so much for tuning in to Please Advise. Remember, if you like today's show, make sure that you're subscribed in iTunes so you never miss an episode. While you're there, feel free to review us with 5 stars. It helps the show climb the iTunes charts, which means other people can find us and join the hashtag PleaseAdviseNation. And more importantly, if you have a question or dilemma you want help with on the show, call 323-450-7408. Or email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com with your letters or voice note recordings. That's askpleaseadvise, PLZAdvise@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, it's Malls. Welcome to episode 92 of Please Advise. You guys, this has a very rare distinction to it, this episode. It's the very first one we're taping in my new home.
Woo!
Woo!
Are you so excited?
I am very excited.
Christina, thank you for coming here early this morning to set up for me. That was like with me. That was gigantic. You guys, we do this for fun in our free time, and we're so excited that we're finally getting advertising now. We also want to just thank you guys for being so cool about it on social.
Yeah.
I just want to make a point of saying that at the top of the pod. I know it's not always easy when your favorite bands sell out. I consider myself to be one of your favorite bands. But also at the same time, you're happy for them. I went through an emotional journey with Blink-182 at age 14. Now when I'm an adult, I'm just happy that they all have health insurance. I want to introduce today's guest. His name is Ryan Bailey. He's someone that I've known for, I don't know, I feel like 8 years now or something.
I think longer, maybe by a couple years.
It's crazy. Yeah. I have lived in LA for a fucking decade, and I've known you for a really long time. We have mutual friends through my ex-boyfriend, Eric Moneypenny, who was on Please Advise.
Did you
know that?
Yeah, I totally knew.
Okay.
Yeah.
Moneypenny was on Please Advise. You're good friends with Nick Wegner.
Yeah. And Joe Chandler and all those guys. And yeah.
They were in the Midnight Show. You guys, blast from the past. If you've been following me for a long time, I'm sure you remember the Midnight Show. If not, maybe go check it out at the UCB Theater. I think it's still going on.
It sure is.
Sure is. Okay.
Yeah. They're getting more tired as it's... They can't do the parties for hours and hours afterwards.
We used to party till 4 or 5 in the morning without cocaine, by the way. Like,
no, it was
that
just
was
like
the
cheap beer.
Yeah, cheap beer and just adrenaline and
like Oasis videos in the background.
Yeah. And the anger of not fully succeeding yet. I think that fueled a lot of those parties.
One of the first times I went, you had a hat that was like an octopus.
Yes. Sure. That was Stephen's hat.
Oh, okay.
Stephen brought it into the party. You know, Stephen Myers, former guest as well. I love that kid. I finally got to meet his brother for the first time recently. I'm not going to talk about Steven's personal life. I will say that he cut off his ponytail for Locks of Love, though, and I'm very
That's
proud
great.
Of him. Yeah.
Yeah. He has a really soft side.
Steven's, like, honestly the best person beside Ryan Bailey,
Thank
who
you.
Went to Beyonce Formation alone last weekend.
I
kind of want to go and let me know what that journey was like.
I'll tell you right now. It was one of this – it was a really emotional thing, actually, because – I found out on like Friday night there was a pilot I worked on that didn't get picked up. So whatever. So then the next morning I was like, what would make me really happy? And I was shopping at like Pier 1 with my wife. And I was like, that Beyonce show is happening. I really love Beyonce. My wife doesn't like Beyonce. It's a kind of one of our arguments. And I said, hey, would it be weird, babe, if I went to Beyonce by myself? Like, just tell me, would it be weird without you? And would it be weird by myself? And she's like, chase your joy. Chase.
Yeah.
You know, so I went to Pasadena at 3:30 and I was like, this is going to be a mission. I went in my Uber driver. I said like, dude, Reek, we're going to do this. And he didn't seem as like pumped as I was. And I thought this would make a great Snapchat story. And all of a sudden I started having these regrets and I got to a bar, started pounding drinks. And then I convinced my buddy that lives in Pasadena to come. We started drinking and he said, I'd like to see Beyonce. And I was like, you'll go with me? And he's like, my wife will go too. And then we went on StubHub and I paid an ungodly amount on my credit card to get in there. But it was the best night of my life. It
That's
was a
blast.
And which, by the way, I saw you and Ed.
Yes.
Because, I mean, part of the reason I told Anne-Marie, my wife, that I'll get a picture of Malls for you if you let me go. So I literally had to ask the ushers if they could see. They're like, have you seen two people in bee costumes around? And I was asking everybody if they saw two people in bee costumes, and I finally found you.
You guys, if you didn't see on Snapchat, which, by the way, why aren't you following me on Snapchat? Malls Official. Ryan, what's your Snapchat?
Ryan Bailey 25.
And Christina's Hey K Lopez.
Hey.
We're all kind of really enjoying the medium right now.
Yeah.
And
testing the boundaries.
Yeah. Beyonce, my phone died 15 minutes into Beyonce, which is just classic me right now. I used to always have 100% all the time, but then I had some sort of weird emotional divorce from my phone, and now I just don't charge it.
Maybe we should get you a Mophie case.
I would love a Mophie, but it's also more of like a political statement. I've been getting so fucking political on this podcast lately, but I do want to say,
here we go. Please advise nation.
Lefty rants from Malls. Here we go.
By the way, I'm so excited for this upcoming election. Can I say I've now gone from being super depressed to so excited? It's going to be a disaster. I can't even imagine what these debates are going to be like.
Well, don't you think the Republican convention itself is going to be like a WWE, like WrestleMania, kind
Completely.
Of one of the most amazing reality shows that we've ever seen? Because now we're into politics being a reality show because of the 24-hour news cycle.
I've been saying that about Donald Trump for like a couple weeks now. He reminds me of a professional wrestler, like not
He's
now,
like Vince
in the
Man.
80s.
He's like
in
Vince
the
McMahon.
80s.
Yeah, because he has the crazy hair from the 80s. And this is a guy that's...
You better believe it, brother. We're going to...
This is a guy, like, I watched him chastise Bret Michaels on a reality show,
yeah.
And now he's, like, a serious candidate. That's amazing, and he's really good at sound bites in a really dumb way.
I almost feel like Donald Trump has that thing where it's, like, he predates, like, 9-11 emotionally. Like, 9-11 may not have sunk in for him emotionally or something. As much as he's a New York person, he has this 80s-style confidence, even a 90s-style confidence that is afforded to none of us anymore, that we've, like, lived through this great tragedy. I feel like whatever it was we all kind of silently took on after 9/11, Donald Trump did not pick that up.
No, but like I went and watched one of his like full speeches at like this Republican dinner in New York a couple weeks ago. And you see it in these bite-sized things that you kind of see the best clips, either good or bad. But if you watch him unedited, I mean, it's first off, really boring. It's somebody that just rambles completely and makes maybe 2 points. So there's a lot that the American public really hasn't seen how bad he really is. He spoke to the NRA yesterday, or like, because the NRA like came out for him. And he's at like talking for the NRA, and he says, you know, my sons love the NRA. You know, they love guns. They rent so many guns. Sometimes I'm like, that's too many guns. And I'm like, you're at the NRA, bud. Like, remember, like, he's really this weird, unedited, unfiltered. And people say that as a compliment. I'm not. But it's really awesome to watch him stumble his way through this.
Do you have a contingency plan if he does indeed become president?
Yeah, everybody says, like, let's move to Canada and stuff. You know what I'm going to do? I'll probably just sit right in LA. And
here's the thing. Nothing.
I'm just going to live through it.
I'm going to get through it. Yeah.
I'm big on the Schwarzenegger theory. This is all like a show right now. And that once he gets in, he's really just going to settle in and kind of move way far away from a lot of his right-wing bullshit. There's not going to be a wall. There's not going to be...
The wall is not financially possible, and like structurally possible. I mean, there's nothing possible about
it. And you know what? It could have a trickle-down effect in the sense that, not a Reagan-style trickle-down effect, but like, a trickle-down effect in the sense of like, well, maybe Congress will get its shit together finally.
Little Reagan humor for all you teens at home.
Sorry.
Hey, please advise nation. Wikipedia, Ronald Reagan.
Trickle-down effect.
I'm a Reagan baby, you guys. What kind of baby are you? You're a Reagan baby? You're good. Bush baby.
86.
Yeah, you're a Bush baby. What are you?
Bush was 88, though.
Probably Carter? Was that before Reagan?
Carter, yeah.
Damn.
Mr. Carter.
Mr. Peanut Farmer.
What was I going to say real quick, though? I want to talk about, you're a Bravo head. I'm a Bravo head. Have you been listening to Radio Andy Bethany Frankel's show, Be Real with Bethany?
I've not started listening to that. I actually listened to you this week on Amy Phillips, which was awesome.
I honestly felt like I did an acid hit when I watched Southern Charm the night before. So I honestly, normally what happens, I wake up at around 4 a.m. and then I start watching all my Bravo shows, because who doesn't like to start their day with like verbal violence?
It's an easy way
right?
in.
So I really start my day usually with that. But what I wanted to say was Michael Rapaport was on Bethany's show, and he was making the most transphobic, disgusting statements. And I've been in positions on this show where people have said things that like really, really bum me out. I was really vocal about Neve Schulman's virginity comments, like pushing me over, but not knowing what to say. So I kind of just let him like sit back, and I kind of sat back and like let him, you know,
there's a time and place to be confrontational about it.
Exactly. Yeah. But he was saying like, you know, I mean, he was talking up to Bethany. He was saying, I mean, Bethany, you want some guy with like who looks like a woman but has a schlong in a bathroom with Brynn? Like, and it was so like
Donald
it
Trump. Just,
it was yes. Yeah. It was so distasteful, even in its like ignorance.
Well, Michael Rappaport plays a character at this point. He's completely. Not even a real person. He's like trapped in this vision of like a New York guy that he plays in Woody Allen movies at one point in his life when he was super successful.
Which is crazy because like, he's from LA.
Yeah. Well, and that's I mean, I used to manage a nightclub in LA like about like 12 or 13 years ago, and he used to come in and very verbally aggressive. Like that's his shtick. There are people that like, oh man, we have to deal with this shtick now. And he actually directed this really cool documentary on Tribe Called Quest that I really dug.
Yeah. And they hated it though. Tribe hated it personally. They all wanted nothing to do with it. By the time it came out, they were all pissed at him.
Oh, see, that was the only thing that I really dug that he's done. And I thought that actually was a decent documentary. But him, I mean, just it's like,
I love him in True Romance. That's my jam.
Wasn't
True Romance
great?
Is my favorite movie. Hope. That's my Mighty favorite Aphrodite. Movie of all time.
By the way, Brad Pitt in that movie, like you can give like what a revelation. Like, I mean, know. About like no small parts, just small actors. Mm-hmm. I mean, just hitting it out of the park. True Romance
my
is one of the best
movies.
My mom
used to say that was my mom's motto, like her refresh button for me emotionally. Molly, there's no small parts, just small actors, because I would never get any parts in plays. I was always undersold in school. Because I was a dyslexic weirdo. That was the biggest line in our house. There's no small parts, just small actors. She was like, you fucking sell everything you do. Just go sell it. I love that line. But I couldn't believe that Bethany, as this like gay icon, Bethany Frankel, was sitting there. And then even after the break, she didn't say, like, after he left, at least say, like, you know, I don't stand by those comments. It almost like seemed like she stood by those comments. Not really hurt me because I love
she
does. Bethany.
Which, by the way, Bethany usually has no problem in speaking her mind.
Right.
So but why she would seemed, she not?
She seemed a little bit intoxicated by him because he was really working her and like was very like she was very like.
You're a mogul, Bethany. You're a mogul.
He was like, Bethany, I love you. He's like, you're the one. You're the one. You're real. You're real. Everyone else, they're fake. Like, and he was really, really just praising her. I guess he had called her the Michael Jordan of Housewives on Watch What Happens. And she was very like, I mean, you could just tell like. You know that moment when you're talking to someone famous and you've never respected or liked them, but they're so cool to you in that moment that you're like, am I a little bit in love with Lisa Rinna right now? Like, would I marry Lisa Rinna? Like, that is kind of what that moment, it seemed like that's what that moment was for Bethany. It was like she was probably never considered him as a human before, but now that he loved her, she loved him.
Yeah, so, and stars have this amazing quality of making you believe that they love you. Like they have this magical. I also worked at a fancy spa when I first came into LA, and Anne Hathaway came in, and I think at one point I was like, "Dude, she wants to marry me!" Like, and I realized that's just how she treats everybody in her life.
Yeah.
But wait, why do you think Bethany even came back to the Housewives franchise?
I think that Bethany needed some good press after her marriage. It was obvious after her talk show ended. I mean, she wasn't. If she didn't go back to Housewives, the best she'd seen in terms of global fame had. Past. She already had her spinoff show. She'd already had her talk show.
She had her married show.
Yeah. If she hadn't gone back to, TV after her huge divorce and just having these brands out everywhere, she needs and likes that visibility. That's a part of why Skinny Girl is always
she needs
really
to
well.
Feed it though. So that's
because people see. Her struggle, and they're like, I want Skinny Girl. I'm gonna buy Skinny Girl. I love Bethany. Look how hard she works.
She better be on it, or Tipsy Girl is gonna start taking over.
She needs to be talking about how she's the richest homeless person in New York, and she needs to be talking about how tired she is, and how laborious her divorce is, and how everything, like, you know, she needs to play like the high key.
Well, don't we get a health scare coming up pretty soon?
I think there's a vaginal scare.
Oh, it's specified
vaginal?
I think it's vaginal
because she was talking about her, like Andy asked her a question on Real Housewives and Bethany was like, oh yeah, speaking of my vaginal health or on Watch What Happens. And she was like, oh yeah, speaking of my vaginal health. And Andy was like, no, Bethany. I'm talking about something else. So she almost like outed the story.
No, Bethany.
No. Yeah, like, no, Bethany, like re-steer the ship. So, yeah, it's this season is I want to talk about last week's episode with Ray. We're on schedule right now for this to still be current. I mean, that is the best Real Housewives episode of New York, Real Housewives of New York I've ever seen. However, it's more heightened than it's ever been.
Well, where do they go from here?
I mean,
is somebody going to die? Is somebody going to shoot somebody?
Completely.
Was that the one that we watched last night?
Yes.
Okay. I watched an episode of Real Housewives for the first time in 3 years.
What did you think? Did you feel ill afterwards?
It was a lot. I don't understand why people subject themselves to watching something like this because it's very uncomfortable. But it's also very manipulative.
Do you know,
like,
what disturbed me about you last night? And I'm pointing directly at you.
You're the problem.
What disturbed me about you last night is when Bethany was being a full-blown fucking jackal and ripping into Sonia like a little rabbit. You were like, I have to stop myself from going off on people like that all the time. And I was like, I would never mentally even to get to that place. Like, that is like friendship, nuclear end, like a world ending, scorched earth. Fucking no one's coming back. The land is gone. The earth is nothing can live here anymore. That's when I get there. That's where that goes. The fact that you live your life in a place where you need to go off on people like that.
But I don't, though.
Wild.
Guys, you're not in this room. There is so much tension in this room. No. Please advise Nathan. This is really intense right
when
now.
You told
I
me
understand
to put the fucking
Christina as a person. When we did our Myers-Briggs last night.
Oh my God, that blew my mind.
Christina showed me your results and I looked at it and I just nodded and I was like, yep. I said, that's you. Like, and that, like, is.
I was reading the description and it felt like someone was like, I was getting read by someone. They
Christina's
were like, here's
life
the problem with
is
you.
4%
this is why
peace, 96% turbulence.
Really?
My inner life.
Oh, okay. I was like, you don't strike me as a turbulent person.
No.
And when I hear you on the podcast, you like throw in like stability, you know?
She is a fucking, no, she's a bee's nest of secrets over here. This one Whoa. Is a hive of secrets. Christina,
it's secret. Not secrets.
There should be
it's
a section
like,
of Christina's Corner every show.
I know.
Of like, what's going on this week, Christina?
It's not secrets. It's like the inner turmoil that I have about like any part of my identity. Is that?
Yeah, and also you're also very, like, you're very morally staunch. Like, you have very, and I feel like whenever you, like, that time we cried after that guest left because we were both so upset. Yeah. That was, like, that, I was, like, you are so morally staunch. Like, you're such a good person and so, but like, believe in what you believe in that it really bothers you to have to question it. And and that makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
So Ryan, do you have three reasons why you're qualified to give advice on today's show?
Three reasons, yes. And I was saying earlier, this really threw me into a bit of a spiral myself. You were talking about a couple episodes ago about, you know, people, you know, how they treat this, and I did treat this very seriously. I took it very seriously, and I was really questioning things. And at some point I was like, I got to tell Malls that I'm not right for this show. I don't think I can do this. But then I gave it another shot, and then the first thing is I think I'm qualified because of just like how lucky I have been to been the people that have been thrown into my life. I was raised like small town in Kansas on a block just with all girls. And so those were like my best friends, you know, like, so I kind of was taught to listen and look at problems from a lot of different angles at a really young age that sometimes I've noticed my guy friends don't do. Also then like when then I moved to Arizona right in high school and my best friend became this, you know, this guy, Dusty, who is my best friend, he's gay, didn't know it at the time or was in the process of coming out, was a Mormon, like all this, just all the people that in my life that have kind of shown me different aspects of the human condition. I think that actually makes me somebody good to give advice to. I'm really big into self-help, even if I don't practice it sometimes. I go to therapy every week. I read self-help books. I think that naturally helps. And the third one is, I try not to talk shit about people. This is like, I really try to keep a mental note, and this does not count for reality show people or celebrities. But I try not, because I realize that everybody is going through their own shit on a daily basis. If you, if you're driving on the 405 in gridlock traffic, you look around, we are all in this wave of torment and we have no clue what each of our like journeys are. I know this might sound a little hippy dippy, but
no, it's true. Everyone's facing an enormous journey. Like everyone's on this journey.
And everybody's kind of, there's so many people that are scared shitless that you have no idea about. So, I'm very empathetic in that way. Yeah.
Well, I have three questions for you.
Yeah, let's do it.
You have been married for as long as I've known you. I feel you probably got married young. What are three things you love about your wife?
Okay. My wife will outwork anybody. I mean, she is so stubborn and bull. Like, I mean, it's something that a quality that I don't have. She doesn't take no for an answer and she will. I mean, the first night I met my wife, she told me drunkenly that she was going to marry me. And I was like, no, thanks. And she was like, let me, you know, like, give me your number. And I was like, I don't think so. And she really, like, she told me something. She'll go after that. That sounds a little weird, I think. But
that's
awesome. She really is somebody that
you want on your team.
Yeah. And also, if she likes something or likes a person, she passionately likes that person and supports that person, even if nobody does, you know? Right. I'm talking about, and mainly I'm talking about her taste in music. She like loves the Goo Goo Dolls and will not back off from it. And I think that's a horrible choice. I really dislike the Goo Goo Dolls.
He
looks like a soccer mom with the hair. I can talk shit. He's a celebrity. and third, and I think this is as we get older, I think she becomes, she becomes more and more beautiful to me. And this is not in any kind of like, you know, I'm just like, God, you're really an attractive person. Like your smile, you're really blessed with a smile that I think really does warm up a room.
That's amazing. Know?
But I also, guys, I'm really scared shitless of my wife. She's Italian. She really scares me. So.
Oh, I love Italian women.
Oh, you'll love my wife.
Where'd you guys meet?
We met at this bar in Venice, the Venice Whaler.
She was
hammered at a happy hour and I was going to meet
her
sister.
That's a great bar, by the way. Great, but it's not great at the same time.
Well, she was flirting with these guys who were like gold gym, bald, like buff. And I was like, and she would like, when she talked to me, she was like four-eyesing me. Like she was so drunk. And she's like, you, I've heard about you. And then I eventually watched her get carried out of the bar by two people. And yeah.
All right. What's your biggest emotional fear?
I might not be able to do anything with my life, that I quite possibly could be considered a failure and it's too late into the game to sometimes switch courses. It's just, I deal this with my therapist a lot. It's just like, you know, there's a certain thing if you play the lottery and I'm in the acting comedic, writing game, there's a certain lottery aspect to this. If you are a smart person, you actually look at the logistics of things and how many pieces have to go into place on top of you being talented for anything to hit.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has a story and there's all these little facets that go into each one. But as you get older, because you do feel the crunch of time and the 100 years that we're going to be on Earth.
Yeah.
And you really do get scared of what is it going to look like as I get older, you know? And that is a real fear that I, like, just even in the last month, I carry it with me, like, on a daily basis. It weighs.
You just had a birthday. Is that why, do you think?
No, actually, I really think it's just that no, this is something that I've been thinking about a lot for the last year. And this is what I chose to do. So do it and work hard and hopefully meet the right people and continue. But you do, you know, you have other friends that have success and you look and you just.
What I feel good about you though, confident about you though, is you're always creating, you have a real job, and it's a job, it's within the realm. You know what I mean?
Totally,
There's a lot of people that are just, they're like, I worry about them. I don't worry about you.
Well, you know what I mean? Did you ever just want to, like, there's a part of me that always just, I just want to be in the game. Just invite me to play.
Right.
And that's the thing. Like, it's like with everything, like just, I might not want to go, but just invite me. I want to be part of it.
If I can
be
in the game.
I just want to be part of the game. Like I actually got to, it's been a dream come true to like, I've been pitching this show, but I've been actually for the first time, like taking meetings, and I don't, you always read about it. You always, cause I was a, like, I grew up in Kansas. I was reading Variety as a kid. Like yeah. That was the one magazine I would get. And, to actually be in these meetings, it's one of those things that's like, wow, I'm from Kansas and now I'm here.
Yeah.
Even like, this is a win.
It's a big deal.
It's a really cool thing, even if nothing comes of it, you know?
I love that. Yeah. That's a great attitude. Okay, last question. We're going to take our calls. Your favorite board game?
Oh, gosh. Wow, that's a good one. It's Monopoly. Yeah.
Wow.
Monopoly. Yeah, wow. Because... It's
stamina you need for that game.
It's a time commitment. You really get to know people, and there's like when there's a seesaw effect that when it saw like you know you're winning, and then it's just like
that's
pouncing,
how you're gonna make
pouncing,
it as an actor because you have the fucking patience for Monopoly. If you have the patience, if you love Monopoly, then you're gonna make it as an
Molly,
actor.
Molly, what's yours?
Scrabble. Okay, let's take our calls.
Hey, Malls, this is Richard. I just tweeted at you about my expected baby. So my wife and I have been married a few years, and we got pregnant a few months ago. We were expecting a baby girl, and we just found out that he's going to be a boy. So it was kind of like an oh-shit moment for a number of reasons. But then we kind of were thinking about how do you actually raise a son, you know, in today's world? What do you think, like, sexual politics are going to be like, you know, 20 years from now when he is a freshman in college? How do you raise like a gentleman, but also, you know, if he's going to be like a boss one day, he like respects women to pay them an equal amount. But when he, you know, goes out on dates, he's willing to like pick up the check kind of thing. You know what I mean? How do you, you know, marry those two? So love to hear your thoughts. If you were pregnant right now, expecting a baby boy, how would you expect to raise him over the next, you know, 20 years for him to be a feminist adult? Thanks.
Well, I have to say that as someone who I don't have a lot of friends who have kids by nature, the fact that I live in Los Angeles and people don't really settle down till they're a lot older. Even a lot of my older friends don't really have kids. But when my girlfriend from elementary school started getting you know, got pregnant for the first time with a son, I was so excited because I was like, this is an opportunity to raise a great guy. Like, how cool is that, that you get to make great men? That said, I mean, Ryan, I consider you to be someone who has this balance. You talked a little bit about this at the top, but did your parents do anything to like nurture you to be like compassionate, but...
We had weekend classes that my mom is somebody that I, you know, just a great lady, hardworking lady and an empathetic lady. My dad is super funny, but my dad was like a sports guy and we conflicted on that. I just started being close to my dad in the last 10, 12 years. And that was a big thing of like, I'm not enough of a guy for my dad. Right. It was a very, but also I just thought of like even hearing that from Richard was that, man, you're well on your way to producing an amazing son. For you to even think of that question, I'm already like, well, that's a non-issue. He's going to be completely fine.
Right.
Richard seems to, if you even think about that, like for me, a lot of my guy friends are having babies that are girls. That scares the bejesus out of me. Yeah. Being in the LA club scene, going to music festivals, looking at Instagram models, that kind of stuff scares the crap out of me. To me is something that I would not know how to raise a girl.
Yeah.
But guys, I'm just like, you know, I just thought that's such a great even question that if your mind thinks of that, I think you're well on your way to being an amazing parent. You know?
Totally. I think, you know, it's about maybe pointing out the hypocrisy. I think obviously kids listen and absorb everything like a sponge. And I think just reiterating your beliefs as much as possible is really important. I think that there's a way to say like, you know, everybody's equal, but when you're courting someone, when you're dating someone and you want to show them that you like them, it's nice to, you know, it's a nice quality for a man to offer to provide. It's not necessary, but it's nice that if you pay for a date out of you know, that's a different scenario. I would hope that he wouldn't feel he needs to pay for every woman he eats a meal with. That is where you get.
We can't date anymore. I think it's like I would be also just scared about raising a kid in this landscape of like, how do you navigate social media? How do you navigate?
Yeah.
That's the kind of like these. Thankfully, I was married before like dating apps and stuff like that. And I know you talk about this a lot, and you seem like you enjoy it. Like,
and I'm a sicko that just loves meeting people.
But to me, like that is my worst nightmare, meeting new people over an app. Like, it's hard enough like on Facebook and Twitter, you know, like to even throw the real me out there. But that to me scares me. But also the pain thing that, I was taught at a young age to, you know, always pay for a lady if you can. And I remember I'd been in a really long relationship that was started in high school, and we moved out here together and ended. And I was all of a sudden 25 and it was Arrested Development. I had no idea what dating was. Yeah. And I took a girl out on like Venice Beach, and I knew I had money to buy lunch.
Yeah.
And we did that. And then we were walking on the beach, and it was very nice. And then, you know, Roland Jimmy, the guy in the turban with the guitar on the roller skates?
Yeah.
He rolled up to me, and he was like, "Hey, my man, you want to buy a CD?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I only have my credit card, you know?"
Yeah.
And then he was like, "No problem." And he pulled out a credit card machine. And then the card, of course, declined because I had no more money, which was so embarrassing. But anyways, that's what I would be. I think Richard is completely awesome.
Yeah.
Here's the thing I will say. I do feel like society is becoming more aware of like gender equality, and that's becoming a very mainstream movement.
I would like to think so, but we are not in the so-called red state. I mean, we're here where all of my friends are very like pro equality and all these things.
I meant like in the internet sense of it all.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know how like feminist memes are
but
all the
rage. But I do think about that all the time, is that we are so – Every conversation we have on this show is influenced by the fact that, like, for the most part, us and most of our guests have grown up and continue to live in very liberal cities and very open-minded cities with more different types of people than you know what to do with. New York and LA, crazy. Boston, too, especially that it's a college town. But, I think that, Richard, I think you're a good guy. I'm really excited for you. Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
I hope you didn't buy a bunch of gendered shit.
Well, that seems like to be the problem. He was alluding to some problem. He's like, that's another story. So he bought a lot.
I mean, but you know what? That's another way you can, like, don't live in the binary. Like, you shouldn't be so adherent to, like, the gender binary either. And that might help, like, the feminism issue a little bit.
We know where Richard lives. Where does he go?
Let me look up the area code.
I'm not sure, but I do know that I was watching my hairdresser. She's from a very traditional Armenian background. She taught her my nail person. She taught her son Armenian in home first before they speak English, anything else. And I was watching her Snapchat the other day, and I noticed that she just was letting her little kid run around Target and pick out any section. And he was mostly aiming towards the baby dolls. And I don't think that's a sexuality thing for him. I just think that
frame of reference.
He had the opportunity to play with whatever he wanted. And that's a good thing to do. I think just like, honestly, the more opportunities you give your kid to decide their own activities, you know, don't necessarily put them in football.
They don't want boys' toys. They're
just want toys. Also,
they're directed towards wanting those things.
And if you're a part of a group, and I hate to bring this into this, but like if you're a part of a group mainly talking about religion that actually steers you towards a certain way of not thinking,
right.
I think that's always a dangerous kind of way. I'm all for spirituality and I'm all for religion in certain ways, but learn how to be yourself within those confines. And the fact that I'm saying the word confines, I've just been around certain situations where that has
Like the 19-year-old who called us last week saying that she would give blowjobs and have anal or something, but she can't have vaginal penetration. And it's like, do you even know why you're saying that? Like, because to me, that as a woman, that doesn't sound like that's a fun party for me. Like only anal and blowjobs. That sounds
She didn't say anything about
Abraham,
anal.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I inserted the anal thing. But like, blowjobs only. That's not a fun. That's probably not a fun sex life for her. So I just want to,
she could enjoy it, but
she could, but. But that's a very, also, that's almost like a fetish if you only enjoy giving blowjobs instead of actually having any fun yourself. Well, and so,
people's sexualities are different. Like, some people are just more active in the,
but she said it was a spirit. What I'm referring to is that she said it was for like some sort of religious or moral reasons. And what I wanted her to clarify is why do you believe in those things? Because if you can tell me why you believe in those things, I'm totally with you. But I feel like she was reacting because she was told.
But that was Farrah Abraham's thing too, right? It was religious that she was
not using birth control. Oh,
because God was against vaginal then? Stuff. Well, I think that day she didn't believe in God. I don't know. I maybe just totally made something up. Sorry,
all
Farrah.
All it takes is one time.
Sorry, Farrah.
I do have to say, Farrah did call someone's work that I know the other day and spelled her name out for the receptionist. It was awesome. Okay, let's take our next call.
Hi, Malls. Hi, Christina. Hi, guest. Calling with a burning Vanderpump Rules question. I recently saw on none other than Miss Sheena Shea's Snapchat that Brittany, Jax Taylor's girlfriend, is officially a waitress at Sir. Want to get your thoughts on this. I think this could make for a fantastic season 5, if that's the season we're coming up on. I think Brittany is an absolute unicorn, that she can put up with Jax's crazy, shady ways and not only get along with all these crazy people, but this group also includes his ex-girlfriends and girls he's hooked up with, and, you know, God bless. So I think it'll be great. Everybody's at this amazing point. They're all in harmony right now, you know, save Tom and Ariana, but kind of over them. They're kind of over us and just like a little tired of it. But anyhow, so I don't think that this harmony could last. So I'm looking even more forward to the inevitable fallout and the new alliances, because let's face it, that's what we've come to love our dear Vanderpump Rules for. So, anywho, just very curious to see what your feels are on this. Please advise.
Wow.
What do you think?
First off, top-notch question, caller. I've got such a huge smile on my face. You've hit into my wheelhouse. This is amazing. You're so right. I was on Sheena. This is so embarrassing. I was on Sheena Shea's Snapchat just last night, and you were totally right. She is working there. She is in the purple dress, which, by the way, means we are getting storylines where she gets hired. We are getting all of these storylines. And by the way, she always has the most beautiful smile. She really
so cute.
But by the way, there is something lurking beneath the fact that she can put up with Jax, which kind of almost makes me think, is there a little bit of like, like star craving, like a really subtle underlying.
I think Brittany is an emotional earmuffs person. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a long history of secrets and substance abuse in her family. I think that Brittany really keeps her eyes shut. And I think that what the pulse of her coming into Sir will be is the discovery of who Jax really is. Because when she's faced with it like that, because, you know, he's been able to massage her into the social situations, pick and choose when she comes around, what light she's seen in. Now that she's at Sir and a bona fide player, I mean, do we think she's going to be in the intro?
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. Oh, yeah, because the intro, by the way, now has like 80 people in it. It's like the Marvel universe with all the superheroes. Like, there's so many people. Like, Guillermo's still in there, which, I think this season will be all about her learning who Jax really is. And then the next season after that, to look really ahead, will be the discovery of Brittany.
Yeah.
It will be Brittany's season where she probably hooks up with one of the other guys, maybe Tom.
Brittany's going to fly.
Yeah, that'll be Brittany's season. But there is some, like, you will have a Jax cheating storyline, at least two of them in this
completely.
Next season.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited. But isn't it really... The Snapchat's cracking me up because you can see how over it they are. Like, they literally be like, I'm hiding in the back room because I'm sure they don't want to deal with customers that love them, you know?
Well, I don't follow Sheena. The only people I follow are Ariana, Stassi, and Katie.
Ariana's on it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's Ariana 2525.
Mental note.
Now, I really thought this was really interesting what you said actually about Tom and Ariana, which I'm worried. This is why I worry about Ariana as someone I really enjoy as
when
a person.
When did I say? Oh.
The caller said. She said, I'm over them because they're over us. And as someone who loves Ariana and wants her to keep being on TV and like pick up that fucking paycheck and like and show people how great she is, I think a lot of people do find her to be the Greek chorus in a sense of comic relief in some sense. Like, she seems to really understand because she does really understand the show. However, you can't act over your job at your job after a certain point. And now the audience is starting to feel like, come on, you're not even playing anymore.
Yeah. Like we, I mean, that's the you know, the magic of like, you know, of disbelief. We want the curtains. We want the whole show. And like, if you make me realize how pathetic I am for watching this show, that starts to bother me, because like I was telling Molly earlier, is I got into Vanderpump Rules hardcore, like just this year.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like Snapchat, where I had a really violent reaction at first and absolutely was like, this is horrible, disgusting. And then like one day you wake up and you're like, I want to see what filters look like on my face, you know, like, and I couldn't stop. And then like I finished the season and I got so upset that it was done that I went back and I mainlined all three seasons in like a week and a half. So I had watched that season. I had no idea that all these other guys had cheated, like people that I thought were good.
It really makes you understand Stassi's journey as well, Stassi, right?
And yeah, really, what a journey. Like,
and I think I really recommend for any fan out there, if you haven't spent some time with season one Stassi, even season two Stassi, I think you need to go back, because something's been lost in translation. And I really like, I think that Stassi had a much harder go than people remember.
I just also, with Brittany, I get really scared that Jax might be, and there's no signs of this. Well, I think that I get scared he might be verbally abusive to her. I get scared that he might make fun of certain aspects of her that I don't know. There's part of me that just, I don't know why I get the feeling.
I think that you are 100% correct in that feeling. I think that it's probably even worse than you think. And I honestly think that Jax does not treat women well. And that's all I will say, but I don't think that Jax treats women well. But I worry about
that. Also, I mean, but then we, for this next season coming up, we have, I mean, there's going to be the good side and then the dark side of DJ James Kennedy and La La Kent, which, by the way, if you see on his Instagram,
Kristen,
my hair is crazy. My sex is crazy.
Fuck you, Kristen Doughty. You'll never get a guy like me.
I banged her on a BMW. By the way, this is how like, this is when I get super excited. Like sometimes I'll see it after the fact. I don't follow him on Instagram, but it'll show up on my people you may know thing. And I'll see that like he's spinning and I'll be like, cause I've pulled a pump mission before where I went and had like three pump teenies and like worst hangover of my life. Like
we should go.
Dude,
I don't do that.
That would be a dream of mine actually with you. But this is like a bucket list. But by the way, this is being on this podcast is like a Make-A-Wish Foundation.
I'm
not sick, but it's like what it would be if I was sick. So the fact that I'm already on this without being sick is like, now I get to use my Make-A-Wish when it really happens for something other than this, you know?
I hope we're impressing you with the rinky-dink operation that we're running.
By the way, this is like literally, I was like, woke up in the mirror today. I was like, you can do this, buddy. Let's go. You got this.
All I want is for people to come over and talk about Vanderpump Rules with me in a microphone. But that's all I want.
That's why my vision board is like really like, I would love to watch Vanderpump Rules with Molly. I would love to. Like those are the things. I talked about that in my therapy this week. I was like, super pumped. I'm on a podcast that I love and I'm really excited. And I just never thought it could possibly happen. And he's like, well, why didn't you reach out to her and ask her to be? I was like, that's not how things work. You don't just reach out to somebody.
How many people reach out to be, or like, can I be on the podcast?
But that's not polite. I want to be polite and like have it. It's anyways, okay. Sorry. Vanderpump Rules. Great show. Great question. I'm so like, when does the next season start?
So they start filming actually this weekend.
I thought they.
Do you know why? Because do you remember? I can't say who, but do you remember who you were gonna? You're filling
in
for
yes,
today.
Yes, 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 yes.
And do you remember why that person can't be here?
Warm ups. Which, by the way, I thought so. They're probably doing practice lighting tests last night because they were all working in their purple outfits.
Yeah, they are. I think it might have. I think for some people, the person I'm talking about, they screen grabbed their schedule to me, and that person may or may not work at Sir.
Could you imagine being on that mailing list for shooting? Like,
I can't even, I mean, I feel so bad. I've known Ariana for 2 years now and I've seen like, they just can't do anything. Like the emails come like 3 hours in advance. I mean, I guess they have legally, it's like they have to give them 6 hours. So, but they'll sometimes get like an email being like, we need you to be there tonight.
The thing that I'm most concerned with and curious about is the, what they get paid. Like, do they put it in a trust for use later? Because they all seem to be in like these dinky apartments still. Do they get, do they, can they not use the money they're getting now to?
I'm seeing a lot of them with nice cars. I think a lot of them are put, I don't think there's
it's a lot of nice dinners. And
I don't think
like
they're
that.
Saving. I don't think they're saving. Cause I mean, first of all, they also are responsible for maintaining their look. So they're like paying for like celeb style, you know.
Yeah.
I heard Sheena on Stassi's podcast. I heard Sheena gave like an insane, like, five figure amount of money to a hairdresser and makeup artist to have them on retainer throughout the season so that they can come over whenever she calls them.
Spend
so
money
like,
to make money.
So let's say you're giving someone, you're spending 25 grand off the top to make sure you look flawless on TV. That's worth it. They need it because that's how they, but like, I don't know how much they get. They all just were at Foxwoods for Sheena's or for Katie's
birthday. Yeah, I saw that. That was...
Yeah, and I think that all of them got paid for that.
Yeah, because there was like a reality show convention.
Yeah.
In, I mean, I heard. I don't
know.
And also, you guys, new Mike Shay track dropping soon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Have you seen Don't Look Down, James Kennedy's music video?
Oh, yeah, with the paint. Yeah.
Is it called Don't Look Down?
I'm not sure. I just know at some point he's like shirtless, like with neon paint. And
God bless him. He's the white Kanye West.
He was at Coachella when I was this year, and I was like... just randomly, like, just always looking over my shoulder for DJ James Kennedy, which, by the way, will be the most, when I do find him, and I will eventually, and get that picture with him, it's going to look so odd. I'll have the biggest smile on my face.
I think he's gonna be coked out and, like, on fireball. Like, I feel like he's probably he has it. No one's ever hurt my ego the way Justin Bieber did when he told me he wouldn't take a picture with me. And, like, I've literally never been hurt like
that
in my life.
Wait, how long ago was that?
It was at the Justin Bieber roast. I have never been hurt like that in my life. And and I honestly think James Kennedy gives me that vibe.
That's, well, see, and this is why I'm really weird with asking people things and kind of sometimes weird around celebrities. If I'm when I was like 14 years old, we lived in Arizona. We came out to LA to visit my uncle, and the Tower Records on Sunset used to be there. And I was like so into movies and film, and we drove there and we saw Whoopi Goldberg go into the Tower Records. And I was like, oh my God, Whoopi Goldberg, Dad, can we stop? And we stopped. And it was right when like CDs were still in the big cases, and she had like 80 CDs. And immediately as a kid, I was like, oh my God, she can afford all those CDs.
She's so rich.
And like, she's so rich. And then I went up to her and I was like, I was so nervous. And I was like, Miss Goldberg, I just wanted to say I'm a very big fan, and I just really like your work, and I'm an actor myself. And I didn't ask for an autograph, and she ignored me, didn't act like I talked to her, and just turned around and walked away. And I had never.
Whoopi, how dare you hurt young
never,
Ryan?
I had never. It really? What? I mean, it totally scarred.
Oh my gosh.
It, like, I had to go back to my dad. He was like, how was it? I'm like, she wouldn't talk to me. He's like, let me at her, you know? But he didn't do anything. But
oh my God. Whoopi hurting young Ryan.
But like,
is
to act like
a,
I didn't
I never
exist.
Got that vibe from her.
I didn't either. That's why I thought it was all right to say hi.
Mean cat. She's like a mean old cat on The View.
Well, that's why she's vaping now.
She's like, it's almost like she's perched like on a bookshelf looking down at the rest of them. She's grumpy. She doesn't like to go to break. She doesn't like to read
let's
out
get,
the teleprompter.
Let's keep rolling.
Yeah, she's pissed. Whoopi's pissed every day.
I want the James Kennedy photo, and I want Jackson a chunky sweater with me photo. And then I'm like, done.
Did he abandon the chunkies? Like, is he wearing them still?
No, I don't think so, because I think he's actually bulked up, so it'd be chunky on chunky.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes hard.
You can't
have
chunk on chunk.
Chunk on chunk is
not good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's take our next call.
Hi, Molly. This is Sophie from Iowa, and I have a question. My boyfriend and I have been dating for, like, a year and a half or so, and we've been through a lot, or at least I've been with him while he's been through a lot. He had a legal situation that he came out on the good end of, and this whole time I've dated him, he's been a smoker, which bothers me. I don't try to be judgmental because I can't understand what it's like to be a smoker. I've never been one, but it's something that does bother me enough that I want to try and push the issue with him and try and get him to consider quitting and try and be supportive in making that happen. But it's something that I don't really know how to approach because I don't want to, it's not, I mean, it is my place, but it's also like something that's just really hard because I don't have any personal experience, and I don't even really know anyone personally that's had to quit smoking or been a smoker. And I just don't know how to be supportive and be there for him. But I also know that it's important to me. I don't think I could ever date someone long term or marry someone or have kids with someone who smokes. And it does bother me because he has to smoke. Like, it just, it's like annoying that we have to like break up our time together so that he can go outside and smoke. And he gets really emotional, and I can tell when he needs to smoke. And it's just, it's not a big problem, but it's something that does bother me, and I want to be upfront with him about it. So I guess I'm just wondering if you have any advice about how to make it clear to him that it's something that I need him to consider, but without being like, I don't know. I just want to be supportive, but also like clear. So any advice you have would be great. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, girl. I mean, look, whether that be like smoking or eating Cheetos on the couch or having man tits or a sex addiction or some like weird World of Warcraft addiction or like whatever it is, you either need to let him quit on his own or dump him. That's the only way this is going to go, because you can't, he will resent you for making him change. You this is the person you started dating, so you already signed that invisible contract saying I accept you on these terms. He's going to, if you want to date a guy that doesn't smoke, date a guy that doesn't smoke. But you can't, I mean, I don't care what it, the reason why it upsets me is as a smoker, I'm cognizant of it in dating, and I'm also really open with people on the first date. I literally, or like, as soon as you start to lay down terms of the stuff, or if it comes up on the first date, I'm really open about it. I do whatever I want whenever the fuck I want, and that's not a negotiable thing for you. So, like, while I will always be considerate of you, I'm not going to stop smoking for you. And if you're dating me, then like you're not going to be able to just don't date me. If that's a deal breaker, then don't date me. But I'm not changing for you. Sorry. No one should be asked to do that.
I ain't sorry.
You know, no one should be asked to do that.
Sophie, I have a little perspective on this. Is what I quit smoking about 5 years ago. And yeah, my wife wasn't too keen on me smoking because she's not a smoker. But we made it very clear. I made it very clear that I wasn't going to quit. And then when I did quit, it was because I wanted to quit. There would have been nobody that could have told me. My parents told me for so many years to quit. Like there were, and it just, no. That's something that I like. That's a me thing. And unfortunately, and even how your voice sounds, and you know, I can tell you're really tormented about that. But Malls, I think, is completely right on. Is that, you know, get used to it, or unfortunately, like, do date somebody that doesn't smoke. They're out there.
My parents, at one point, when I was dead broke, they knew the only thing that could motivate me to quit smoking was money. And they said to me, Molly, we will give you $2,500 if you don't smoke a cigarette for 6 months. And I said to them, no. And they were like, and I said, how, I said, you know, I said, they were like, well, you know, we're going to have to figure out a way to keep you accountable for it, but you know, you go 6 months without smoking a cigarette, we'll give you $2,500. And I said, I'm just not even going to entertain that. I'm not even going to pretend to lie to you that I'm going to do that. It's not worth $2,500 for me. And also, at many points in my life, there never is a right time to quit these sort of things. That being said, when I was like dead broke or in a very stressful place in my life, cigarettes were a great source of comfort to me, and I needed them, and I wasn't ready to quit. I didn't need another problem in my life. I didn't need to be like chasing down this like, you know, 8-year addiction in the middle of like poverty. So,
but I you're so, and being a smoker, you're very used to like having, like, I remember like, you know, somebody, I was having a cigarette on, this older lady came up to me and was like, you're too handsome to smoke. Yeah. And I was like, mind your own business. But that's a very nice thing to say, you know, like, right. But it, you know, there's just no, I used to have this horrible joke. Somebody would ask me to quit and I'd like, my parents didn't raise a quitter. You know, yeah. It was like, but I really, unfortunately, it's got to be him all the way. There can be, you know, you saying that is just, unfortunately, works in your negative, you know?
And I have had exes that I've desperately wanted to change and it just hasn't worked out. Whether it be a little thing like that or some big thing, I just, seriously, no matter what it is, you can't make someone do anything they don't want to do.
Has she thought of starting smoking?
There you go. Thank you. Sorry, Sophie. Sophie, get involved.
Good luck.
We haven't done one of these for a while. It's you are appreciated user comment. You guys, we have a 5-star review that was in the iTunes store. We really love it when you go do that because it helps us in our rankings. Ryan's going to read our new comment for you. Read it up, Rye.
Imagine Ice Cube listening to Please Advise by Avery Fields. As a straight black 23-year-old man, I'm sure I'm not your target audience, but I love this show. I've been told I look like Ice Cube. Imagine Ice Cube watching your show. Yeah, Molly and crew, keep it up, because if you reach me, you can reach anyone. P.S. Don't censor the period joke talk. If men can't take the blunt honest, then this show isn't for them.
I love you, Avery. Thank you so much. And thank you to all of the guys we've been hearing from that are like, yeah, I fell out laughing listening to the period stuff last week. That Richard is honestly, for our first caller, Richard, who wants to know, that is another way to raise your son. Don't make him afraid of biological shit that happens to everybody. Teach him that everybody's shit is normal. That is so great when we hear. I love hearing from a young 23-year-old guy with a progressive attitude. I do picture Ice Cube listening to this show every week. I have been for years. So that's something new for me. But maybe for the audience, it's a fun visual for you. Ice-T and Coco, or Ice Cube. And, it's not who I'm thinking of.
Yo, Dre, check this out.
Let the beat drop.
Yeah. Is there a doctor in the house? Yeah.
So we have a letter too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ryan's also going to read our letter. Sweet. Because he's an actor.
Voiceovers.
And we want to give him this piece of great voiceover audition material. Yes, you can you put this in your reel?
Yeah, I will.
Do some like voice exercises, unique New York.
Unique red leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather.
What are the other ones?
I think those are the only two. Those are the only two I know.
The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plane.
Bippity boppity bip. Hey, Malls, Christina, Helen, !! Wags, and super fun and fierce guest. So I have a real quick question to ask y'all. I'm a 28-year-old human woman from a small mountain town in Southeast Virginia. I currently live in DC and I'm trying my hardest to maintain my life, my live, laugh, and love lifestyle. My younger and only sister is 17, living back home in Virginia, and partakes in safe sex very often. Within the last 3 weeks, she's had multiple sexual partners. Here's my question. Should I be concerned? I feel concerned, but I don't know how to convey that to her in a feminist and non-motherly way. My parents don't know what's going on because they are almost 60 and are too tired and old parents. The last time I was home, I took her to Planned Parenthood and we both got tested for STIs because I want to show her I respect her choices, but also want to be proactive in safeguarding her sexual health. When I ask her how her psyche is, she tells me it's totally fine. When I ask her how the dumb kids in high school are treating her, she tells me that they all talk about how much of a slut she is and that she has no gal pals. This makes me super sad. I'm afraid she's having sex just to feel a connection with someone. I don't know what to do. Help.
She adds a PS. Have loved you and your pod forever. You introduced me to Salon Pause, which helped me so much during grad school. And I'm grateful to you because you keep me laughing in this political and boring ass city. Also, oh my God, Helen is so beautiful. And your Snapchat, when you tell her that she's arrived at her home forever, made me cry. How do you communicate with her? Through signing? Thanks again, Logan.
Oh my God, now I remembered when that happened and that's making me misty. I love Helen too.
That was really beautiful.
Helen's so good. I didn't even mean it like that, but like now that I've realized that that's how that came across, she was home forever. That's my baby girl.
Yeah. She found her forever home, which is something that foster kids say a lot.
Yeah, that's my little girl. Thank you. Helen is so beautiful. I want to say that I don't know if there's something wrong with me, but a lot of people asked me when I was going through the adoption process, why do you want to adopt a deaf pit bull? And I said, I didn't think about it. It's frustrating that she can't hear me sometimes right now because I'm starting to get to know her.
Yeah.
And she's already darted out the front door a couple times. Thankfully, I live at the very top of a cul-de-sac, so she's nowhere near moving traffic for at least almost a half a mile. But I had to throw a stack of newspapers in front of her the other day to get her to realize that I wasn't playing. Like I had to throw a stack of newspapers down the driveway to get her attention. That really freaked me out. She does speak sign language. She only has 3 signs. She also responds really well to touch. So if I just like put my hand on her butt, she sits. She's so happy and so grateful to be somewhere. So I can't, I honestly have to be honest. I the rescue organization I used was, I've never rescued from an organization before, and it was, it's not for everyone. It was a laborious process. It was emotional. I felt threatened at times, like they were threatening if I didn't respond fast enough or if I did something wrong that they were going to take her away from me. And that was really emotional because I so fell for Helen right away when I met her and even in the pictures. So I don't know if I would recommend the adoption group, rescue group I used, but I do recommend rescues in general and pits and deaf dogs. They're really just, she's such a, everyone who's met her is blown away by her.
Oh, she's great.
I love her. Now, wait, she said her sister was 15.
Let me double check this one second. her only sister is 17.
Okay.
And the parents are 60.
Which is, by the way, sorry, when Janet Jackson was announced her pregnancy at age 50, the first thing I thought was, well, that's kind of fucking selfish. When your kid graduates high school, they had to take care of an elderly parent.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing, though. She has the money to, like, control. Be okay. You know what I mean?
Right. But it's not, I don't know if it's great messaging. And I also think that, you know, if you want to have a child at 50, maybe adopt. Maybe that's the aggressive adoption range.
Yep.
I'd say.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm, you know, the technology involved that's, you know, having this happen, I'm scared that it's going to be like an Octomom situation and a new Jackson 5, you know?
Wags keeps farting, by the way. I just want to apologize for that. That's not normal, but he's on a new food.
Oh, that's what that is.
Yeah. Do you smell?
Please this advise like, nation.
Yeah. Of it.
Helen, her farts are so brutal that the other night I'm not a fart scatological humor person. I just need to express this to the nation. I was in my bedroom the other night, an entire floor in a barn door away from Helen. And I'm laying in my bed and I'm like, did she shit in her cage? And I went downstairs and just realized that Helen needs to get her digestion sorted. Like Helen's in a way.
It's a big thing for dogs to change food.
Yeah. So she's on some, because God knows what she was on before. Now she's on some. Ryan brought some very lovely food today. I have her on a slim and healthy mix right now because.
But that's one of my biggest shameful moments in my life. I've done this now a couple times is when I've blamed a particularly bad fart on my dog to my wife. And I'll be like, babe, what are you doing to her? That's crazy.
Classic right? Couple humor, yay. Right? It's a dog.
Marriage is for everybody.
Blame it on the dog. No.
So back to Logan's sister.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Sorry. Back to Logan's little sister who is having multiple sexual partners.
I was very upset when I thought it was 15. 17 is a little bit different. I do know that is the age that, or it was anyway, when I was growing up, that was the national average for a woman to lose her virginity. And when I lost mine, hey mom, ew, sorry. So I think that that is a normal time to be sexually active. I think it's very obvious that you are correct and that this is filling some sort of emotional need for her. What do you think, Christina?
I mean, I really appreciate the fact that Logan's taking the time to actually like take her to Planned Parenthood. That's like older sister thing to do. And you're trying to emotionally check in with her, but yeah. She's also at an age where she needs to define herself and she needs to define like her sexual what she wants sexually.
Yeah.
And she needs to figure that out. It sounds like she's in a really tough place. Both because she has older parents and because
the school thing that really stood out to me is that sometimes I think, you know, is that all 17-year-olds might be doing the same thing she's doing, but that really bothered me when they said people at school
make fun of
her. Like that was the part that kind of stood
out.
But
also, I mean, it does speak to maybe how out of control it would be. You can be intimate with multiple people and not have it be school-wide news. And I feel that that's probably perhaps a sign that she's either intimating these details to people that are not good friends or maybe choosing partners that are using her for that reason only and then repeating it like as if she's the town doorknob or something.
Yeah, you know? And it also might speak to a larger psychological issues that she's doing this to get
typically
that she's not getting at home or from anyone else. So maybe just encourage her to talk to a counselor or something like that at school.
It also can be a sign of like an earlier in life trauma too. I definitely would tell her to talk to someone. However, I will say that when I have people in my family, like cousins and stuff, who are different in their sexual activity than me. And it's really gross for me and difficult for me to understand. Like, I had one of my younger cousins tell me she was just expressed that she was much more sexually active than I was when I was her age. And also than I would have thought for my little cousin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it wasn't anything out of control. It just was like, oh my God, I had no idea you were this sexual being. And it can also just be very strange to think about someone who you grew up with being younger than you, being a sexual being, period. It puts a weird stank on the whole situation. Mm-hmm. So, and I think you're aware of that. And I think it's awesome that you can even separate it enough that you want to discover the mental health aspect of it. But just remember that there's a chance that there are probably other kids in her school and all over this.
Yeah.
And people listening to this podcast who were like that in high school, who are like that in high school. And that's just how they express themselves sexually. And it's a part of their personality. Yep. And they didn't grow up reserved or ashamed of their bodies in the way, you know, or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
You know?
So she's from a small mountain town in Southwest Virginia.
Yeah.
That might play a factor to it too. I think the next time you see her in person, really try to sit down and parse out what's going on with her. I think doing that on the phone can kind of just be like, it's easy for people to be like, I'm fine, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
The fact that she is actually there and concerned and caring is such a positive step. Yeah. That a lot of people don't have that. And they kind of could potentially get.
So yeah, really try to have a heart to heart with her next time you see her and let her know that like you're a safe space. You're safe to like, you know, you're not going to judge her for whatever she says or whatever she's done. And if she's still not opening up to you, then just tell her that you think she should talk to someone, even if it isn't you.
You're the shit, girlfriend. Let's take our next call.
Hey, Malls. This is Maria. I was corresponding with you on Snapchat about Lyme disease and how I just want to like set the record straight. Okay, so everybody who criticizes Yolanda Foss probably doesn't have Lyme disease because it really does like completely affect your life. You can be sick one day and feel better the next day. It's really just a very confusing disease that I've lived with for 7 years and I only got diagnosed 2 years ago. So it's been a really big struggle in figuring out what's wrong with me. Like, I'm not really sure what else to say. I guess that it's just something that needs to be talked about. Sorry if this wasn't a very good call. I was really nervous calling in. Have a good day. Bye.
Hey, fucking team YOLO Foster girl. Thank you so much. I loved when you reached out to me on Snapchat and I asked you to call in because I think that we're all speculating a lot about a disease that people don't know a lot about and that in popular culture, the people who have it have always been painted as crazy. I really think that Irene from Real World got a raw deal. I remember watching her audition tape and thinking this girl's going to be the shit in this house.
Real World Seattle, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, you're getting this backlash from a really poorly done season of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills where they had to focus on this, which to me is a completely non-issue. I'm like, she has Lyme disease. Let's get over it.
Right.
I'm more worried about David Foster playing the piano at all hours of the night for groups of people. This is such a weak storyline. There is zero to hang a hat on here. Move on, because it is a real disease. And obviously, people have it. And shut the fuck up if you don't. Obviously, you know, this Munchausen crap. Like, get over it. Like, I mean,
I think that it's so obviously the, you know, Lisa Vanderpump. I think that Rinna really outed Vanderpump in a huge way at the reunion. I totally believe Lisa as a person who is like addicted to the truth. I saw what Lisa was doing, and that was like a moment of coming clean for her. That was like her shower that was spiritually removing the dirt of having
her Silkwood shower.
This disgusting thing. No, I think Lisa Vanderpump looks at someone like Yolanda. She doesn't like Yolanda because she is all up in Mohammed's ass.
Yeah.
She needs someone to blame. Yolanda is very, very rich, very untouchable in that sense, or at least appears as though. Apparently they've had financial troubles. Yolanda is the only one that still gives Kim or Brandy the time of day. That unsoothes Vanderpump in a real way. So yeah, she went after totally. YOLO.
Yeah.
And my issue with this, and I just think that it's very obvious what happened there, and people who are even questioning what's going on with Yolanda are not getting it. This is the mother of two American angels, Gigi and Bella Hadid. And like what she has given us is like literally more than most people's fucking contribution. Pandora Vanderpump is a hammerhead shark. Sorry. Like, I'm just saying it. She is a hammerhead shark. And
the value of these people is how good looking they are?
No, but Gigi and Bella are more than just good looking people. They are both charitable. All Gigi wanted for her birthday was gift cards to give to homeless people. Okay. Gigi's amazing. Bella is, I think, a very spiritual person. Pandora's delusional. She always has been. Remember when she watched
pimping out those products? Though,
remember when this is my when I decided I hated Pandora Vanderpump.
That's a very strong
when word. They no I and I am vocal about hating.
There's a lot of pink
hating on Pandora. I just don't like her, and this is why. The moment was when they were wedding dress shopping, and Pandora's popping out of the fucking dressing room. Yeah. She goes, "Mommy, don't cry." And Lisa's like, "I'm not." And like, it just was like, it was so self-aggrandizing and so disgusting. And it's like, Pandora, you're so delusional. Like, not even your own mom wants to cry about your wedding dress. Like, get it. Like, just go away. Yeah. I'm not into her story.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Which way? Yeah. No, no. But no. Lyme's disease, I actually feel the storyline actually highlighted Lyme's disease to me in a fact where she was. I feel bad for the people that have it, do not have the resources that Yolanda has to actually try to search out a truth. I mean, we watched her pulling her the teeth thing and like, I mean, just some intense procedures that I'm like, my God, what if I get it? I will not, you know, I have basic health care.
That is a deep mental illness. They're accusing her of even going so far as to like have elective surgeries to remove her breast implants, to do all this. Anyway. What I would like to do with you, caller, because I know that Lyme disease is a question of all the Real Housewives fans out there, and also probably just, you know, you've described what sounds like a really intense battle that a lot of people are dealing with. And again, so, I mean, I think that there's no way to describe what you're going through. You don't have the words. And literally when I watched Christina get the results of her personality test last night, I was like, this is how I felt when I was 16 and they diagnosed me as dyslexic. Like when you realize, oh, this is why I'm like this. That's a really validating moment. So please advise Nation. If you want to call and ask any questions, if you're up for it, caller, we would love if callers have questions about Lyme disease or anything else, we will actually call you up and do a little thing with you. So, guys, email, call, send your questions about Lyme disease. And thank you so much for sharing your story with us. We really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thanks for the snappy interaction.
Also, I realized we never said what my personality thing was. It was an INTJ.
You're an INTJ.
Yes.
I am a
God. With a strong T at the end of it.
I have a T.
For turbulent.
What, is that what the T is?
No, it's INTJ, and then there was a little dash for the other T.
That's what I had. I had a dash T, too. What is
so that's turbulent, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I had the dash T, too. So I am INFP-T, as well as Mary-Kate Olsen, John Mayer, and William Shakespeare.
All the greats, all the greats.
Bjork, Fiona Apple, hello. Chloe Sevigny. Oh. I mean, aren't we all the same?
Hello, I'm Chloe Sevigny.
Do we want to do a quick Friends with Vitamins?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So, Ryan, you're an actor like me. No, you're an actor. I am Irish, so I'm constantly dry. Skin is very important, as is moisture in the skin. So hyaluronic acid... Okay, they have it. You can just apply it directly to your skin in a topical form, but they also have it in a pill form. And what this does is, hyaluronic acid provides the fluid matrix for joint lubrication, skin hydration, and skin repair.
Hell yeah.
Gotta lube those joints.
Same time, these statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration, and this nice. Product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases.
Nope.
So here, we're going to just, like, I think that thank we just you. Take two. We each take two. Yeah. And I was taking this pretty religiously for a while. I got this at Whole Foods. It's by Jarrow Formulas, J-A-R-R-O-W.
Yeah, did Mary from Houston get her special hookup package?
Oh, not yet.
Just the book.
Just the book. Mary, yeah. Mary, Mary. All I do is think about this Mary.
She and, did like, write into
she,
us.
She like, literally looks down on us.
Mary I don't need looks your advice. Down on us. I don't need your help. No, she yeah. she wrote
I like
in.
You guys. You're crazy. Anyway.
No, she wrote in. She wrote in really, really nice things. So
I love
I'm
her.
I'm really excited to send her just the book.
Perfect, Mary. All right.
My
you guys,
feel great.
That was episode 92 of Please Advise. Ryan Bailey, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. This was really a treat.
Do you want to tell people what you added to the Please Advise Hall of Fame?
Oh, yeah. I added two things, actually. I have a in my Twitter profile pic, it's me with these Hulk hands. And these Hulk hands have been with me for like, I got to say, like 15 years now. And I used to get drunk at parties and bring them out and just Hulk smash things. It was a fun little thing I did. But I brought one of those and I brought an unopened pack of, I'm really into pop culture stuff, an unopened pack I got from Japan of Beverly Hills 90210 trading cards.
Oh
with
my
the yen little sticker on it. So I brought those two.
Will you sign the Hulk hand for us? Okay, thank you so much. Ryan, where can people find you on the internet?
Twitter at RyanBailey25, Snapchat at RyanBailey25, Instagram at RyanBailey25.
And Ryan's a good follow, especially all you people out there. We did get a comment from someone saying that they don't like when straight guys come on the show, but I think that we proved you a little bit wrong with Ryan. He's a good follow.
So scared for the comments.
He talks all about people. People are really nice usually. Yeah, but Ryan's a good follow, especially if you just want some Bravo commentary in your life.
Yeah, I do a lot of Bravo Snapchat stuff.
Hollywood stuff, too. Do you have anything that people should go look for if they want to find out more about you besides your
Twitter? You can go to RyanKylerBailey.com or if you want, just interact with me. My RyanBailey25@gmail.com. I'll tell you anything that you need to know.
That's awesome. All right. Well, you guys, I'm Malls. Christina Lopez is our producer. Thank you so much for being here. Quick shout also to Heather Peterson for who did our logo. She's also working on our upcoming site and she makes our cute little quotes for us that sometimes we post on our thing. That's huge when that she does that for us. We love Heather. She does
Thank
that
you, Heather.
Completely from the goodness of her heart.
Yeah.
By the way, do you want to know what's so weird? So the Please Advise colors are kind of like the same colors as Hello Giggles. And then yesterday I went to Target or I went to Petco and I bought new bowls for Wags and Helen. What colors did I get? Red and teal. Like, wait, it's just a part of me. Like, those are, if I were to get my
Heather
aura.
Heather came up with those colors on her own. So,
I know. Yeah. If I were to get my aura photographed, I really think it would be teal and red. Yeah. Anyway, you guys, thanks so much for listening to episode 92 of Please Advise. We have amazing, amazing guests coming up this summer. We have Rachel Bloom from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Yes. I'm so excited.
Awesome. You guys, we have a Pulitzer Prize winner and a Golden Globe winner on our show.
Yeah, I know.
Like, and also, like, why is Nature Box not sponsoring us yet? What is going on?
Guys,
what
Loot Crate, the Zoe stuff, let's get it.
Yes, and by the way, you guys, if Glossier. You want to advertise on Please Advise, you should just email us, pleaseadvisepodcast@gmail.com, and put in the subject line, advertisement or something like that. If it's we've had some PR people reach out to us, that's the best way, and we love it. If you guys come directly to us, that's the best for everyone involved. Come directly to us. All right, you guys, 323-450-7408. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.